So students, we've reached an end of this particular subject with this particular chapter, chapter 7. In this chapter, we are going to look at what are certain current trends in wages and salaries, especially from the context of India, as well as from a global context. Now, as we are aware, this is the year 2022, and we've all been through a pandemic for the last 2 years. So there are a lot of elements of wages and salary which have experienced some sort of a modification or a change, and some of these changes are here to stay. We will also look at what are certain future trends in the context of wages and salary in this particular concluding chapter. So let us begin with the objectives. So as mentioned in the introductory, the first slide, we will look at the current trends in India. We will also look at the current international trends. There are aspects of frequency recognition which will be discussed here, and the future trends in compensation and benefit. So let's look at the introduction. Now, as we are aware, the corporate world is changing fast due to increasing number of Gen Y, that's the Generation Y, the people who are born ahead of 2000. So they are joining the workforce today. So a person who is born in 2001, for example, would be of 21 years and would have graduated and would be aspiring to take up a new job, correct? So all that has undergone a major change, a big change, and the industry is looking at new developments. We've also seen that the COVID pandemic has also played its role. Okay, there has been a lot of change and upheaval in the industry policies. An increasing number of studies are showing that annual increments are no longer the engaging reward for an employee because they're expecting much more. Employees now think like customers in the workplace. As a result, the one-size-fits-all approach to compensation and benefits management will no longer work. So what we have to do is we have to go about accommodating newer trends that are happening in the industry. Now, according to a lot of research studies that have happened in the recent years, the top three payment trends across the globe and in India are follows. The first is the restructuring of the payment for remote working. Now, as we get to understand, a lot of employees across a wide gamut of industries have resorted to remote working because of the ongoing pandemic. Over half of the global workforce will continue remote work in the future, primarily to ensure employee safety. So we have recently experienced a surge which relates to the fourth, wave, I would say. So there are IT organizations and many manufacturing concerns which still prefer to work in a hybrid mode or a remote world, mode, to guarantee the employee's safety. So here there has to be a modification in their payments as well. The next part is the medical benefits matter too. So surprisingly, the enterprises of today look at the medical payouts as an important part of feeling rewarded. So of course, in a country like India, where the legacy organizations have always laid a stress on medical payouts, today's modern enterprises are also seeing merit in doing the same for their respective employees. The third important aspect is the frequent recognition. So as you're aware, we've covered this in previous chapters as well. So recognition or appreciation of long tenure, which was earlier an insignificant measure, has suddenly become a very important factor for driving engagement. Now, because of the pandemic, people have stayed away from the organizations and have felt a loose sense of involvement or engagement. But as they're returning to the workplace, or as virtual mode or remote mode becomes more relevant. Engagement is also seen as an element of, you know, motivation or encouragement. So these are the three important, you may say, payment trends which are coming about. Now let's discuss each in detail. So the restructured payment for remote working is what we shall discuss here. So around half of the organizations expect significant reductions in the vital costs in the coming years because of the pandemic's impact. In fact, many of the organizations that I know of have still people who work remotely, or they are in a hybrid mode of going to the offices for a few important occasions. Some of the organizations have diverted budgets for commuter allowances, company cars, and business travel to support optimizing pay for essential workers and to restructuring the rewards of a distributed workforce. So if commuting is not happening physically, if business travel is suppressed, then why not divert those allowances someplace else so that those workers, they get motivated. So this is what is being looked at. Not only did the sudden move to telecommuting force many organizations into accelerating their digital transformation plans, it has also helped make clear the gaps in digital roles and skills. Moreover, remote working opened the talent market. So over here, if you notice, let's say I run a startup from Pune, okay? And till a few years, let's say my startup is just 4 years old, in the year 2019, I majorly had people from close by areas in the same city. But today, because of remote working, I can hire talent from Bangalore, or I can hire talent from Delhi and other places. So enabling it, what it does is it enables organizations to hire the best talent, not just from anywhere in the world, but also from a broader and more diverse talent pool. So, let's, for example, say there is a housewife who has prior experience working in an IT organization, but could not continue because, she had a childbirth. The child is still young and is about 3 years of age, but she can work on a flexible schedule virtually from her house, from the comfort of her home, for about some 7 to 8 hours, okay, without visiting the company physically, and thus adds to the diversity in the talent pool. So if there's no mandate of her to report at a physical office quite far from a place, and she just has to switch on the laptop, receives a quick training, and is functional in the next few months, then she could contribute to the diverse talent pool. Now, with remote working on the rise and possibly becoming permanent in many organizations, it is crucial for leadership to invest time and effort in having a holistic understanding of the digital strategy and ensuring its successful implementation throughout the value chain. So what we mean by the value chain is the different departments, the different functions, and how can they develop a sort of an interdependence and an independence through working in a digital strategy. Now, in fact, what is a digital strategy? It's nothing but the progression that is happening from Industry 3.0 to Industry 4.0. So practices like being intelligent in the workplace, practices like in manufacturing, if we were to introduce the various concepts of customer centricity, of having digital superiority, then that is going to impact the concept of remote working. Now let's also look at the medical benefits which have been provided. So employers recognize the toll that the pandemic has taken on the employees. Now this toll may not just be physical in nature or physiological, it may also be psychological. Okay. Now what happens is the working hours have increased, in fact. since you are at the mercy of a laptop, virtual fatigue and workplace burnout is significantly observed and has become an important workplace issue. Many organizations have employee assistance programs, and it's a massive shift in some parts of the world where mental health has not yet been an easy topic to tackle. So it's been observed that many people are going on long sabbatical leaves. Many people, they are taking breaks, especially countries like China, where people work long hours in the IT industry. So there's a usual custom of working for about 12 to 14 hours in many places in China, especially in the urban areas. And there's been a rise in the young people resigning and pursuing some studies or just taking a break from work because of burnout. Now, there has been a survey which has been conducted by a prominent company called as Towers Watson on healthcare benefits in India, which indicates that almost 96% of the companies provide some sort of a medical coverage or some form to their employees, and approximately 17% provide post-retirement medical benefits. Now, what are some of the key findings of the most current report that was mentioned in the previous slide? So here, more than 55% of the respondents have reported higher than 10% average premium cost escalation. Now, this is, of course, because of the ongoing pandemic, the rise in inflation and others. The effect of rising premium is largely borne by employers, as almost 58% of the companies do not deduct any premium cost from employee salaries. And nearly 50% of respondents want to increase benefits despite increasing cost. So here you have noticed that the employers have taken a moral responsibility, despite the rising cost of the premiums, to cover their current employees. A few other key findings are being discussed here. So employers have expressed the importance of healthcare benefits to attract and retain talent in the future. So they realize that human resources now progressed and has become human capital. Each individual is important in the value chain and can create an impact if they leave or if they are retained. So great emphasis is being placed on increasing communication to employees in order to improve the perceived value of the benefits and efficient utilization. The increase in insurance premium of covered health benefits is lower than the increase in the claim ratios over the past 3 years. So this is another interesting finding as per the report. Not surprisingly, a majority of the surveyed in the Towers Watson survey for healthcare benefits in India, companies report the use of their healthcare plans as a talent management tool as well. So this was discussed in a previous chapter, in a previous discussion. So it is being effectively used by a lot of organizations. So main objective, let's look at this particular visual analysis or report. So main objective of providing a healthcare plan. So if you notice, a whopping 41.8% of companies associate this with the notion of attracting and retaining employees in their respective organizations. So for example, if there is a FMCG organization which is operating out of Kolkata, and it is in the current date of 2022, and it would like to showcase or demonstrate this as one of the important aspects, that is the healthcare benefit that they are providing, and they would attribute it as an attraction and retention measure. There are 32.8% who say that this is a market practice and we are adhering to it. Then 11.5% attribute it as a major reason why they're doing it is for the benefit of employees. Then there are some lower percentages as to minimize the work loss. So what happens if a person gets infected and gets hospitalized? So they are minimizing losses related to the employees, and other or miscellaneous areas are only scoring a 3.3% in the survey. So the other medical benefits, okay, amongst the companies surveyed. So this appears that healthcare benefits are by and large provided to all employees, within a majority of respondents reporting it to be compulsory for all. The benefit generally differs in terms of insured amount based on the management level of the employee in the company. So in this Towers-Watson view, the solution lies in giving employees the liberty to choose benefits that they value the most and thus would make optimal use of them. Again, we are working through this particular report or survey. However, medical benefits are not restricted only to employees alone. A floater hospitalization cover is generally provided to employees irrespective of their management level. So this may include their spouses, this may include the children and other people as indicated here. Correct? So it might be a sort of a blanket cover. Therefore, it will not be surprising if a high number of claims arise from treatment of family members covered under the family floater. So this is another aspect which was discovered as a part of this survey. Now, healthcare benefits are not merely an operational cost for employers, but a tool to maintain a healthy workforce and to be competitive in the marketplace as a preferred employer. This is what we've also seen in the visual, discussion. And thus it becomes critical that employers segment their covered populations into appropriate cost or risk categories and design interventions for each segment to control costs, create plan efficiencies, and change the behavior of the employees or their outlook towards the organizations. So we are now going to discuss the topic of frequent recognition. Now in the year 2022, we are almost on the brink of the industry 4.0. So in this day and age, what is important is the human interfacing with technologies of the present times. And in this particular aspect, rewards and recognitions, they have to be customized, they have to be made, as something relevant for today's employees, and hence do not have to be large events or items. Now, as you know, most of the people, they are working from remote places, from their residences. So something which is tailor-made for them can be a form of recognition and it can gain frequency. So in fact, keeping it small enables the employer or manager to dole out or provide the rewards and crank up the dopamine more frequently. Now, what do we mean by this? Now, dopamine basically is a neurotransmitter or a brain chemical, which is released in the brain when we receive some sort of an award or on anticipation of an award. So let's suppose on a fine Monday morning, the MD of the organization logs in for a meeting and surprises others by giving an appreciation or a few words of appreciation to some employee of a department. Wouldn't that employee be, on the seventh heaven? Wouldn't that crank up his dopamine or her dopamine? And if this happens frequently, then it would be much better than those, rewards and recognitions which happen in a quarterly fashion or once in a year or twice in a year. So the most effective staff recognition programs should express appreciation frequently and are tied to desirable behaviors, goals, culture, and personal accomplishments, not some arbitrary milestones. So there has to be a more relevant interfacing of the appreciation rather than something which is too distant or too abstract to understand by the general employees of that organization. So in order to be effective and culturally present, the recognition should be specific, like feedback. So if you are giving a feedback to, you know, a person from your team, if it is vague, it is generally no feedback. So it has to be more specific, and it has to be given to a specific employee for a reason. So if you know, a senior member of the management is present in a virtual way, they should cite the reason behind providing that particular appreciation to the recipient. Again, we've covered, like feedback, it should be specific and it should also be frequent. So given whenever you notice an accomplishment or behavior worthy of praise, not during designated employee appreciation days or a town hall. So if you find, let's say today is, you know, a Friday, and you found on Wednesday, the last Wednesday, that is a couple of days ago, you found that some employee has demonstrated proactiveness and has developed something on their own, which is going to be critical to a specific project development module. So you would not, ideally, you should not wait for the next town hall, which is going to be conducted in the month of October. So rather than that, you could convince the management to provide a spot award on the coming Monday. So if there's a scrum or there's a stand-up meeting, if it's an IT organization, or a level meeting if it's a manufacturing, that should be the ideal time for providing this particular recognition. Again, it should be timely. So given soon after the praiseworthy accomplishment or behavior occurs, before its impact has time to fade. So that's the reason why I mentioned, if it's happened this, you know, Wednesday, the next Monday would be an ideal time, so that the effect does not fade off. Now let's look at some of the vital practices to drive better business results. Look at, you know, recognition programs and frequency. So what are certain aspects that were surveyed and found? So 71% of highly engaged employees work in organizations that recognize employees at least once per month. So these employees, they are at the top level of the pyramid. They are the high performers, and they are highly involved in the organization's, you know, mission, vision, and alignment, and perform well. Companies that are highly effective at integrating technology into their recognition programs were 3 times more likely to report strong business results. So if you notice over here, companies that are highly effective at integrating technology, so they might, you know, use some technological aspect of finding some patterns, some interesting information and data with regards to recognizing their employees, and this is 3 times more likely to report strong business results. So this is something which was very interesting as a find. Again, organizations that implemented recognition programs targeted at improving employee engagement, so these organizations, they collectively reported a 31% reduction in voluntary turnover. So these are those organizations who have seen a tangible drop, a noticeable drop in attrition levels to a tune of a whopping 31% reduction. Now below are 3 simple and inexpensive strategies to implement frequent staff recognition into a company's culture. So start meetings with a quick congratulation or thanks. This is what I mentioned about the person gaining an appreciation on a Monday, which is the start of the week. So you could start that, you know, on a working day. You're holding staff meetings frequently anyway, so use them as an opportunity to recognize individuals and teams for their recent accomplishments. So what could be a sort of a spot award rather than an award in an R&R, which is about 3 months in the coming. Try to focus on different accomplishments so that the same superstars aren't being singled out to exclusion of others. So if you are, you know, running a startup which is an IT startup, okay, so you are developing some solutions for, you know, converting physical libraries into virtual libraries, let's say. Now, you should not ideally give the same sort of an award where if a team is comprising of 8 people, the same people are being pulled up for an award in the same category, like the best programmer of the week. So if there's one person who is completely into programming, yeah, and the same person gets it, the other people, they will not have any sort of an interest, correct? So it should be like, okay, who's the most well-dressed person in the week? Who is a person who has received some compliment from an external customer? Who has kept people engaged in the internal value chain? So these are some awards which can bring in variety to your appreciation or recognition culture. Again, encourage staff to recognize their peers. Very important. Peers are people from the same level in the value chain. So a notable company, Forbes, which conducts a lot of surveys, which writes a lot of business cases, found that employees feel that recognition from their peers is more meaningful than when it came from top, because peers know what they are doing on a day-to-day basis. So coming from a peer means a lot more on a frequent basis than just coming from the top. Another important element would be to deploy or execute a peer-to-peer recognition system. So bring into practice a peer-to-peer recognition system. This could be probably a recognition application or a software which makes it easy for employees to recognize other employees. For example, Tom and Jim are working in the same department. Okay, they are in the risk management and compliance department, and Jim does something extraordinary which is observed by Tom, who is a peer. So both of them are senior managers, let's say, and Tom is observed something that Jim has done well for his team and has helped the value chain. So Tom can log in some request where Jim is recognized. So this could be something which is very useful. Now let's look at some reward and employee development trends. Now what's happened is, there have been certain developments in the last couple of years. The pandemic, it has played a major role in this context. So it does not, or it didn't just turn the world, of work upside down, created upheavals. It is also acted as a catalyst that accelerated the pace of change across every aspect of our operation. So if there were certain winds of change blowing, it acted as a catalyst. It has gone ahead and speeded, it has gone ahead and modified, it has gone ahead and advocated those changes. Yeah, so the pace of change has been, speeded up or accelerated. Now here we need to understand that business as a whole is changing. It's changing fast, and the world of employee rewards and recognition is no different. Like let's say in the, last few years we've seen the advent of artificial intelligence, Internet of Things, Industry 4.0, machine learning, blockchain technology. So if technological developments have been happening, so are developments in employee rewards and recognition. So thank you very much.